Now today is our annual vision day. We're taking time out from our regular pattern of talks, and we're going to be looking particularly at what we're doing here and refreshing our minds, or going over what's going on here. Before we get on to today's material though, let's just bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father God, thank you for gathering us together, and as we reflect this lunchtime on what we're about here at the Aldersgate Talks, we pray, our Father, that you will refresh and revive us, re-envision us, we pray, in our own grasp of the gospel and our own desire to make it known. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to speak for a few minutes now on this question of why we're not a church and why it matters. There's an outline on the back of the handout. And later on in our time together, Mark Crossley is going to come and interview a couple of the ladies about the women's ministry that's going on here. Now, unlike our regular Tuesday talks, which are designed for people who are looking into the Christian faith as well as those of us who are committed, I'm going to be assuming today that we're all Christians. Now, if that's not the case, you're very welcome among us, or you might decide to slip away and come back next week. But I'm going to address what follows, particularly to those of us who are committed Christians. And one of the debates which those of us who are involved in lunchtime talks ministries like these, which keeps cropping up, is whether we're a church or not when we gather on a Tuesday lunchtime here. Now, that might seem like a strange question to ask. Maybe you would say that it's obvious that we are a church because we're in a building like this. You might think that it's a fairly academic question. But how we answer that question, whether we're a church or not here on Tuesday lunchtimes, is actually quite important, I think, for what we expect from the lunchtime talks and how we think these Tuesday lunchtime talks fit in with our commitments to our churches at home. The reason why I don't think we really are fully a church here stems from the very big picture of God's agenda for the world. Just turn in the church Bibles, grab a church Bible, and turn to the very first verses of the Bible, the beginning of the book of Genesis there, which strangely is on page 3. You'd expect it to be page 1, wouldn't you? But page 3 in the church Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. And let me read the first two verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The earth was two things, according to Genesis, at the beginning, before the first creation week. The earth was formless, and it was empty. And the creation week, God's work over the first 6 days, was to address those two things, formlessness and emptiness. The first 3 days of creation, he formed things. He gave structure and order as he separated light from darkness, water from land, and so on. And then once he had formed or structured the creation, in days 4 to 6, he filled those structure parts of creation. He filled the earth and the sea and the sky with birds, fish, animals, mankind, and so on. The task of that the first people were given was to continue that work of forming and filling. If you just flip over to verse 28 of Genesis 1, God blessed Adam and Eve and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Do you see those themes of filling and forming and filling, again, continuing God's work of creation. And then as God's creation purpose was to bring order and to fill, so the same is true, I would suggest, in the new creation. So turn on to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, the Great Commission, page 1001, page 1001, the end of Matthew's Gospel. Page 1001, Matthew 28. The disciples go up the mountain, and verse 18 Jesus came and to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Just as God's creation purpose was to bring order and to fill, the same is true of the new creation. We tend to emphasize, when we look at the Great Commission, famous words, we tend to emphasize the filling element of it, the multiplying, filling the earth with disciples by making fresh converts to following Jesus Christ. But do you see that there's an ordering element there as well? A disciple is someone who is brought under the authoritative rule of the risen King Jesus, someone who's taught to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. So filling the earth with disciples, and disciples are brought under the authority of King Jesus. And I think that means that churches need to be two things. Churches need to be agents of kingdom multiplication, filling the earth with disciples. They need to be mission agencies, in other words. And they also need to be ordered communities under established authorities, training disciples to obey King Jesus. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says this, "Obey your leaders," and in the context it is church leaders, I think, "obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." Churches are for multiplying and filling the kingdom, and they're for bringing order to a chaotic world, forming and filling. And therefore, that's all one sort of long run-up, really, to these two big implications that I've put there on the sheet. I think there are these two implications for how we as Christians relate to our home churches and to these lunchtime talks on Tuesdays. First of all, submit to the authoritative leadership of a faithful church. Submit to the authoritative leadership of a faithful church. We're Christians as individuals, but we're individuals who are saved into an ordered community. We need one another, and the right context for Christian growth is submitting to godly pastors. And here's the thing. Lunchtime talks like these Tuesday lunchtime talks are not adequate to fulfill that need. They're not adequate to fulfill that need. Simon and Rob and I and the other leaders here refuse that responsibility of being primary pastors who will give an account for your souls. You see, you can't submit to two sets of church leaders in the same way at the same time. If we teach something here and your home church places the emphasis somewhere slightly different, who are you going to submit to? You actually end up being your own pope, don't you? As you might weigh the teaching that you hear from various sources, but you only really submit to your own authority. So on all issues where it's legitimate for Christians to disagree, I want to encourage you to submit to your home church pastors and elders. On the typical questions of baptism, spiritual gifts, predestination, most other things you can think of, we here will have certain convictions, we'll always be happy to discuss them, but we won't insist on them. They're a matter for your home church. And if you really can't submit to the authority of your home church, well, you probably need to prayerfully think about finding godly pastors which you can submit to. Submit to the authoritative leadership of a faithful church. Are you doing that? We're happy to help recommend churches if you haven't settled somewhere faithful or if you're thinking of changing. We'd be happy to help you find a church to commit to near your home. So submit to the authoritative leadership of a faithful church. But secondly, when you've done that, and this is what I really want to emphasize today, will you please partner with us in our mission field here in the city? You see, these lunchtime talks are here for a specific purpose. We're not planning to be a substitute for home churches. We don't want to be a substitute. Sometimes people are in difficult life circumstances where, for whatever reason, we supplement and substitute for home church, but we don't want that. It's not ideal. But neither do we want to be a rival for home churches. No, we've got a very narrow brief here, I think, to supplement the work of home churches, especially in that area of multiplication, filling the earth with disciples. We long to see the kingdom filled by equipping you to be as distinctive as you can as Christians in your particular workplaces around this area, and to reach your colleagues with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's something which I hope these midweek lunchtime talks are better placed to do than your home church, and that's the ministry that we will try to focus on. That means that we won't generally get involved with some of the broader things which churches can and should be doing, things like parenting courses, marriage prep, all sorts of other things. It means that we may not teach quite such a balanced diet of Bible teaching here on Tuesday lunchtimes, because we're a mission congregation. We're devoted to equipping you to be godly Christian workers and to reach your colleagues. So please will you partner wholeheartedly with us. We don't want to rival your home church for your time or your money or your attention or anything else. But insofar as your workplace is one of the primary contexts of your Christian discipleship and witness and ministry, well, we want to aim to help you make the most of that opportunity. Please don't hold back from partnering with the Aldersgate Talks because you come from a different church background to me or some of the other leaders or others here. Maybe you come from a free church background and you've always thought that Anglicans like me are slightly suspect. Maybe you'd be right to think so. Maybe you're from a charismatic church or a Catholic church and you think our way of doing things here is lacking something in enthusiasm or in ritual. Please don't let those things get in the way. By partnering with us in the specific task of making disciples in the city, we're not expecting you to sign up to a particular list of secondary doctrines or a particular style of church. There's something quite wonderful, I think, isn't there, about people from all sorts of different church backgrounds who share a conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord, coming together on Tuesday lunchtimes to encourage one another and to partner together in a shared mission. Not forgetting our differences, but being willing graciously to put them aside for the sake of our shared commitment to Jesus Christ. So please partner with us in our particular mission fields here in the city. Now, I've put down on that handout there three particular ways I'd love to see more people partnering with us. Those funny blotches are meant to be tick boxes, so you won't be able to tick, but you might just want to mentally think, which of those am I currently doing, or do I need to think about doing for the first time over coming weeks? First and most importantly, please partner with us by coming to these lunchtime talks regularly and by inviting others. As you come week by week, we hope that you will be growing in enthusiasm for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you'll be able to grow in enthusiasm to share that gospel with your colleagues, that they will start to ask where it is that you go off on a Tuesday lunchtime, and that over time you'll be able to share the message that you hear here with them when you go back to the office and invite them to come and join you here regularly. Every Tuesday, except maybe this one, but every regular Tuesday lunchtime is designed to be appropriate for people who are not yet Christians, as well as encouraging those of us who are. Now, there's a particular opportunity coming up in the next few weeks to invite guests along. These invitation cards are in piles on the table right by the door on the way out so that you can't miss them. Hopefully you'll trip over them. There are plenty there. These are two particular talks that would be great to invite friends and colleagues along to. Firstly, a lunch at Corney and Barrow. We've booked out the side room there that will seat about 50 people for a Thursday lunchtime talk on the subject, Is God There? And then the following Tuesday, here in our regular slot, a talk on Is God Fair? Is God there? Is God fair? Please pick up those invitation cards on the way out and pray and invite people. Now, I realise that work pressures might mean that you won't be able to get here every Tuesday lunchtime, but will you partner with us by coming when you possibly can? Secondly, will you partner with us by praying with others from the talks? We meet here in the vestry to pray every Tuesday morning at 8:15. You use the entrance on Aldersgate Street. Can you join us at least some weeks? You don't have to sign up to come every single week. or come to the monthly prayer meeting this Friday lunchtime. I know some of you meet in your offices and workplaces to pray as well. However you do it, please will you commit to meeting with others regularly to pray for the talks and for one another. Thirdly, will you please partner with us if you can by giving towards the talks. People sometimes think that these Tuesday lunchtime talks are subsidised or underwritten in some way by the Church of England or by St Helen's Bishopsgate or by some sort of historic reserves that Simon Dowdy has access to. Sadly, none of those things are true. We rely entirely on the free will giving of our regulars here just to keep going week by week. And those of you that have been around for a little while know that we've had to cut back on our staff team the last couple of years because of lack of funds. Now, a number of you already give very generously, and David Durlacher, our treasurer, has written a letter for those who are currently regular givers, and they're addressed in envelopes on the table on the way out. So if you're a regular giver, do pick that up on your way out. But for those that aren't currently giving, I'd love to just encourage you to pick up these leaflets, which are scattered about the place, and we would just love to see more people giving even very small amounts. There's no embarrassment in thinking that you can't fill in a standing order for £5 a month or £10 a month or whatever. But it would be terrific to see all of those who are regular and committed and feel they're benefiting from these Tuesday lunchtime talks to be able to give something towards keeping them going. David is just over here. Do see him afterwards if you have particular questions or thoughts on giving. Now, in a minute, Mark, who's one of our church wardens here, is going to interview a couple of people about the ministry that's going on among the women.
As Richard mentioned, we're going to speak to a couple of the women here just for a few moments. Sadly, last summer, we had to say goodbye to Ruth, our full-time women's worker. And so since then, all of the women's work has been done by the women who work in this area and who are involved in the talks. So I thought it'd be great to find out exactly what's been going on and how we can pray for them. And you'll see on the handouts under the bit of talk that Richard's just done, there is some space there to write down the things to give thanks for and to pray for. So as I'm interviewing Mary and Vanessa, please do jot things down and we can pray for them and more generally for the work in a moment. So, Mary.
Hi.
Now, you've been coming for probably about a year or something like that. Now, yeah. I thought it'd be good to hear about what church you were involved in before you came to the talks here at St Botolph's.
I didn't actually go to church.
Oh, okay.
I was christened a Greek Orthodox and only went to church for christenings and weddings. And when I did go, I didn't understand because obviously of the language problems. Yep. So I just went because of the family commitments. Mm.
And then you started coming along to Christianity Explored.
Or yes, that was
CE,
last,
as we sometimes call
last
it.
January.
And how was that? Why did you keep coming back week after week to that course?
Well, I just felt I wanted to know more about God's Word and Jesus Christ, and I found it very eye-opening.
Okay. And what kind of things did you learn from your time on Christianity Explored?
Well, first of all, I didn't realise I was a sinner. I thought I was okay. But I realised then that, you know, I'm not the only one, and I wanted to learn, you know. Mm-hmm. Found out that Jesus was our saviour and he could save me. Brilliant. And I just wanted to know more and more. And
great. That's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful, isn't it, to hear that people come to Christianity Explored that we often promote week by week, and it's great, Mary, that you're able to come along. And then you, after that, joined the partnership group. So these are the small Bible study groups that meet here for both men and for women. You joined the women's group that meets on a Friday lunchtime.
Every other Friday. Yes.
What things there have you learnt that have helped you to keep going as a believer?
Because I was new and I hadn't read my Bible since I was a very small girl, it helped me read the Bible, wanting to know more about the Bible. We're doing Ephesians at the moment, okay. Which is very interesting. So I just continue, you know, just to learn more about the Bible.
Brilliant. Well, that's really encouraging.
Yeah, and that's all I do now. Go home and I read more.
Great. And have you been able to get involved in a local church as well? Because obviously Richard was mentioning
Richard and Simon. I think Richard, I think you were the one that recommended the Enfield Evangelical Free Church to me.
Great.
So I can understand. And I'm getting more and more involved. In fact, this Thursday I'm starting a New Life Explored course there.
Brilliant.
So I can get to know local people as well as just coming here.
Great. Well, that's fantastic, Mary. And I'm just going to chat to Vanessa quickly, because Vanessa is the... you actually lead the group that Mary's part of. So I thought it would be good to, first of all, hear some things to give thanks for, especially with regard to all the changes we had last summer and how the things you want to give thanks to God for.
I think three things to give thanks for. Firstly, that the group has been able to keep meeting since summer. It's great that new Christians coming out of Christianity Explored, like Mary, can be part of the group. Secondly, for the friendships. So we didn't know each other before, but we formed quite good friendships in the group. And also what God has been teaching us in Ephesians, we've learned amazing things, how much God loves us, what Jesus has done for us, the amazing purpose for the church.
Great.
So I think those are good things.
And what about things to pray for? So both for the partnership group that you're involved with and also just the women's work more widely?
You can pray for the next few months as I go on maternity leave soon, that we'll be able to finish the book of Ephesians. So various members of the group will be leading, and so just that we can organise that and that the group won't lose momentum. And then I suppose ultimately... that God will provide us with a women's worker that can continue the women's ministry as it seems to be growing at Aldersgate.
Great. Thank you both very much. I think we'll turn into twos and threes, just the people sitting around us, and pray for some of those things now and give thanks to God. If there are other things you want to pray for in light of what Richard says, then please do pray. If you're not comfortable with praying, that's fine. You can just sit and listen, or you're free to go. And once you finish praying, then you're also free to go or grab some more sandwiches, chat a bit more. The final thing to mention is on the around and about, there are these electoral roll forms. So if you've been coming and you consider yourself a regular member here and have been coming, I think it's more than 6 months. Is that right? I think, more than 6 months. Then you can go on the electoral register here, and that gives this church certain rights in terms of voting and things like that, and influence on the local Church of England diocesan committees and that kind of thing. So if you aren't already on the electoral roll, then please do consider joining us. So let's turn to prayer, and thank you very much for coming.